Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello, celebrity gossip enthusiasts. I'm Us Weekly's entertainment director, Travis Cronin, and you're tuned in to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast. This show where we break down all of the hottest celebrity gossip stories of the week, separating fact from fiction, just so you know, you're an informed member of this culture that we call the zeitgeist of celebrities. Couldn't do this by myself because it would just be me screaming into a void, and that just sort of feels weird. So luckily, I have my two co-hosts. Well, hello, Leopard Lady Gwen Flamberg.
I mean, Leopard Lady, I do wear a lot of animal prints, Travis, because I believe that animal prints are the new neutrals. But thank you. Thanks for having me. I love being here. I'll try not to purr too loud.
And the lady from the home state that invented leopard prints, little known fact, New Jersey, baby woman Sarah Huron.
No one did it like the Jersey-licious ladies, RIP, that program.
Oh my God, I hadn't thought about those two girls in so long.
Oh, they live rent-free up here. I used to drive by that nail salon. But hello, happy to be back.
Hello, and how dare you call it a nail salon? It was a hair extensions, spray tan, eyelash extensions, nail salon, gel. Everything you need to get Jersey-licious. God, throw back. Well, we have some wild stories today. You know, it's a good mix of happy and sad, too. It's not that depressing this week. But before we get into it, let us just stop and take a moment and check in with our co-hosts and see what story just made them clutch their proverbial pearls this week. Gwen Flamberg, what made you go whoa this week?
Well, Trav, it's no secret that I'm a fan of Harry Styles. I'm a Harry, that's right. And Harry's house is back in Los Angeles. He's now doing his multi-night part of the Harry's House tour there. And on Harryween, which, you know, every year Harry has Harryween, where it's a fancy dress party. Sarah Huron was just in the UK, so she knows what I mean. Fancy dress is just another word for a costume party. Everyone's encouraged to dress up. And of course, Harry dresses up. What was he this year, you ask? I'm sure you know, because it's broken the internet. Harry was Danny Zuko from Grease. And he sang "You're the One That I Want," which like made everybody go crazy. But you know what made everybody go even crazier, including me? When he sang "Hopelessly Devoted to You."
Iconic.
It was really something. And I'm still going, whoa. I'm still thinking about it. You know, is it normal that I just think about him and his cute little outfits? I don't know. Anyway. Yes.
I do too, Gwen. I really do.
Haven't seen it, check it out. It's all over the interwebs, but of course also on usmagazine.com.
Harry Styles really will just pop into my head from time to time. And I'll be like, he's just adorable. And him just dancing on a stage from a video I saw will just pop into my head.
I mean, and then, you know, after it was the video, the short film for Music from a Sushi Restaurant, where like he was a hot merman with a beard, like he was a fisherman.
I like that.
That actually has stuck with me a little bit more than Danny Zuko. I can't wait to see what other short films he does.
Me too. Please comment under anywhere you're listening to this about what Harry Styles memory is sticking out to you this week, because it seems like everyone has a very specific one. Baby woman Sarah Huron, I bet yours is hopelessly devoted to you, because I know that you are a Grease 1 and mainly 2 fan.
I am. I am a fan of all the Grease. Anyone who went to Rydell High is good in my book, and my whole TikTok For You page is Harry Styles in Danny Zuko cosplay. But on a more serious note, my woe is what's going on with Dwayne Wade and his ex-wife. I don't know if you guys saw this, but on Tuesday, there were some court documents filed by Siobhan Fugees, who is Dwayne Wade's ex-wife. They were high school sweethearts, went to college together, got married, and had his two oldest kids are with her. And they've had a very tumultuous relationship since they broke up. Their divorce took like 7 years. He was ultimately granted full custody of the kids, which is unheard of for a lot of reasons. One, because a lot of times the court sides with the mother, but also because he was a full-time NBA player, busy dude. So there was a lot of mess there. Very rare, as he points out in the statement I will read part of soon. But she filed some court documents. Their daughter, Zaya, who is 15, came out as transgender in 2020. Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade have been very vocal and supportive of her. I think we've talked about it on this podcast plenty of times. But Siobhan, or however you say her name, she filed these court documents obtained by us, stating her concerns that Dwayne may be pressuring our child to move forward with the name and gender change in order to capitalize on financial opportunities that he has received from companies and will receive based upon his statements to me on the basis of our child's name and or gender change. So she is trying to get the court to deny Dwayne's filing to legally change Zaya's name and gender. So this all came out yesterday, and he is currently in Africa on this huge trip with Gabrielle Union. But that didn't stop him from releasing quite the statement. And I think a few mom quotes are worth reading, because he's a very passionate dad. He said, since this must be a new way of parenting, I guess I have to address these allegations here, which is a damn shame. These are serious and harmful allegations that have hurt our children. While none of us are surprised by Siobhan's attempt to fight Zaya's identity and her unwavering attempt to drag my name through the mud, I'm very disappointed that she has continuously finds ways of centering herself and her needs without regard to her children. This report came out when Zaya was in class. This kid who has maintained a 4.0 GPA in honors classes while navigating all of this unsolicited and harmful attention and debates about her gender and sexuality from those who are committed to not listening to her, much less getting to know her. He mentioned that Siobhan tried a similar attempt over a decade ago when I was awarded sole custody of our two kids as an active NBA player. All I ever wanted was to have my parenting time uninterrupted, as I knew it would be a very difficult time for our kids to navigate this new normal. So instead of actually trying to co-parent over the years, she's left our home to see more lawyers and has taken the time to talk to more lawyers since I filed for divorce than she has actually seen or spoken and listened to Zaya all these years. He said that he's given his ex-wife, the opportunity to meet her teachers, doctors, therapists, her friends, and she doesn't do it. She doesn't go to the school, the recital, graduation, dances, play dates, any conferences, or get to know her. And this was the best part. He said, as a man, we get a bad rep for not showing up and being absentee fathers. Well, that's not the case here, because I'm 10 toes down and still going through this BS. I will not sit on my hands this time and allow her to make a mockery of my dedication to my family. The high road has run out of real estate. My lawyer will be in contact, and best of luck to the 14th lawyer as they try to unravel this book of lies that has been sold to them. A hearing is set for December 12th. You guys. Oof.
Crazy.
Wow. I love the end of that statement.
Right? 100%. The high road has run out of real estate. That sounds like a Housewives tagline.
I was just thinking the same thing.
I'm going to use that the same way that I say that karma has everyone's address. I'm going to use the high road has run out of real estate. I like it a lot. I just don't know what this woman is trying to do, because obviously Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union have enough money in the bank.
Right.
Coming in. They certainly are not trying to manipulate Zaya's sexuality or gender statement because of money. Like, that's just, it's lunacy.
It's so crazy.
It's so insulting.
And she's 15. This is not an 8-year-old.
Right.
Like, she's 15 years old. This has been a long journey. Clearly there's therapists involved. He's taken the right steps. And I think Dwayne Wade, and I love, what I've always loved about the story is that he's like the quintessential athlete male dude who has been so supportive of his trans daughter. You don't see that a lot.
That's right.
I think it's gross that she's trying to like take away from it. And clearly I believe him that she hasn't been around.
I do too. And after all of these, the numbers of the lawyers that his ex-wife hasn't been to, the amount of recitals that she's missed, I mean, just have several seats. This is ridiculous. And again, you think Dwayne needs to profit off his 15-year-old daughter? Like, this is not Michael Lohan. This is like Dwayne Wade. He has
this
lots
of. This is not the
money.
Goslins still trying to scrape the barrel of the money that they, you know, put away for the kids that they're now using for themselves.
Very
that, allegedly.
Very that, Sarah. If you want to ban her from the podcast, you definitely can.
Siobhan Fugis, if that's how you say your name, you're out. Unless you want to come on and teach me how to say your name, because I might be wrong and I'm bad at that. But Travis, yeah, what made you go woe this week?
Oh my God. Thanks for asking, Sarah. Well, what made me go woe this week really made me go, whoa, because it has to do with Cher. And I never thought that I would be saying Amber Rose's name on this podcast without correlating it to Kanye West somehow. But here we are. So Cher has been spotted with Amber Rose's baby daddy. His name is A.E., Alexander Edward. They broke up in August 2020. They share a kid together. He has been single for a year plus now. And this came to be because at the Rick Owens fashion show, Cher met Tyga, of course, Kylie Jenner's ex-whatever boyfriend. Thank God she didn't have a kid with him, so we don't have to say baby's father. But Cher met Tyga at the Rick Owens show. They were spotted somewhere else in Paris. And then Tyga was at her Malibu mansion as well, along with A.E., Alexander Edward. And people were like, oh, is Cher dating Tyga? And I was really, really terrified. But last night at Craig's, who comes popping out? It's Tyga. And then he says to the paparazzi, you're going to miss the real shot. It's behind me. And it is Cher and A.E. walking out together, holding hands. They get in a car to drive back to her Malibu mansion, which, by the way, is on the market for $85 million. And they wow. He kissed her hand in the back seat. And last week when they were hanging out at her Malibu mansion, she took them over to see her mother, Georgia, who is 96 years old, who lived down the road. I mean, it is just wild. I'm glad Cher is not dating Tyga. And I'm sort of excited that she's dating A.E. And yes, because I know you're wondering, there is a 40-year age gap between the two of them.
Can you give our listeners and myself a little five things to know about A.E., aka who is A.E.?
Literally, A.E. is Amber Rose's baby father. Okay. He is best friends with Tyga, and I know nothing else.
That's who he is
about okay. him.
So Amber Rose has a kid with Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And with A.E.
Yes. And with A.E. Okay. I don't know who Alexander Edwards is. He's 36 okay. years old, is what I know about him. And he's friends. I don't even know what he does for a living. I think he was like a rapper or a model. He looked really good when he was with Amber. They sort of looked really good together. But 40-year age difference, I am very excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Cher can be with whoever she wants.
Absolutely. She's been through the ringer in terms of dating. I'm really happy for her.
And if there's ever anybody who could have a May December female male 40-year relationship, it's Cher.
True that. She was, you know, given crap for dating a guy like 10 years younger from her in the 90s. Remember when she was with the Staten Island Baker? And
I don't remember that.
No.
I don't recall.
Well, brush up on your history.
I think she was an infant.
You were an infant. I was also 1 year old, but I still remember that she was given all this shit for dating someone 10 years younger than her when she was in her 40s. So glad we've come a long way. And can't wait to talk about them every single time they leave the house for the next few months. Well, let us bust into some of the news. We are going to start off with a story that I think hit this entire country, especially the women and gays who have seen The Sweetest Thing and Married with Children. Christina Applegate has been talking about her multiple sclerosis diagnosis and how she dedicated herself to finishing the third season of her show Dead to Me and why it was important to her. She opened up to the New York Times this week talking about lots of things about her MS. And she revealed a lot of really, really sad things. She revealed that she had gained 40 pounds, that she can't walk without a wheelchair, but that wasn't going to stop her from finishing the third season of Dead to Me, which is also an amazing show. If you haven't seen it, super interesting.
So good.
Christina Applegate says, it wasn't like I came out of the other side of it. Like, whoa, I'm totally fine. No, I'm never going to accept this. I'm pissed, which I love that she said about her MS diagnosis. Very, very valid concern. She said, quote, the powers that be were like, let's just stop. We don't need to finish it. Let's just put a few episodes together. I said, no, we're going to do it. And we're going to do it on my own terms. And Linda Cardellini, who is
Cardellini,
who I love. So sorry to you, who is her co-star on the show. They are both the woman. She said, quote, Christina was my champion, my worm, my voice. It's like having a mama bear. And just seeing the pictures of her in the wheelchair, she looks the 40 pounds. I don't even see it. She looks amazing. But seeing her in the wheelchair on set, striving to finish this. I mean, it's inspiring, tragic at the same time. I just love Christina Applegate and think she's the coolest.
Well, poor Christina Applegate years ago had a breast cancer diagnosis. Like, it's just she can't catch a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great show. And I, one of the things I remember reading in the New York Times piece was they were saying there was people like holding up her legs during certain scenes so she could finish them. Like, I think it kind of feels like this cast and crew and Christina like all came together. So this third season is going to be like a labor of love and blood, sweat and tears to give this character a proper send off. And she's probably, you know, worried what am I going to be able to do next? Like, is this it? And I love that her and Selma Blair are still so close. Yeah. It's so crazy and sad that they both have MS. After watching someone Dancing with the Stars, it was just crazy.
Is doing really great.
Yeah,
Dancing with the Stars. I mean, went home first week, but still.
No,
dancing.
She did it. She self eliminated because her doctors made her.
Oh, great.
Yeah, okay. She made it like 4 weeks, and then her doctors, her blood, all her levels were too high, and they said it was doing too much on her body. But it was beautiful, and I cried like 3 times.
Oh,
that's nice. It's just so sad. And yes, people had to Christina Applegate about people moving her legs around for the filming. She says, "Quote: People are just going to think." Oh, look at the cripple. That's not up to me. I'm sure that people are going to be like, I can't get past it. She says, then fine, don't get past it. But hopefully people can just enjoy the ride and say goodbye to these two girls. Of course, those two girls are their characters on Dead to Me because this is their last season. Christina Applegate, we wish you all the health and healing in the world. I always like to remind everyone that she was the inventor of the Pussycat Dolls in her garage with Robin Anton. And
really?
Founding that member.
Like a
yes,
little bit
was.
Of Travis Cronin trivia that he likes to spew out at opportune times. And I've heard
I have no idea.
I never knew either.
Yeah.
In either health or history class, we watched an episode of Married with Children. I can't remember which one it was. It was in high school and I never seen it. And I feel like love and marriage has been stuck in my head ever since.
Wow. Christina Applegate, I also did her What's in My Bag interview, and she was sitting next to like that federal marshal on the plane. You know how there's always one who's like armed and ready for anything. And he gave her an actual get out of jail free card, which he said was bright orange. And because it's federal, if she gets any misdemeanor in the country, she can hand the police this card and get out of any misdemeanor she wants. And it's apparently, I had to look it up. I had to run it by the FBI before we printed it. And it's a real thing. And she got one just because she's so charismatic that he gave her a get out of jail free card.
Is that up there with like weirdest comment calls you've ever made, Travis?
Yeah, well, that's not the first nor fifth time I've called the FBI. And they're always really excited to hear from us weekly because it's usually on a little bit of a lighter note. So they're actually shout out to the FBI. Their media relations are always
This is a case for the FBI,
and they really like when I call because it's much less serious than when CNN calls. Well, let's move on to there's no way to tie Prince Harry to the FBI. To Prince Harry, we have some source quotes about his upcoming memoir, and he might be walking on some eggshells because things are sort of, let's say, rough with his family. Source tells us that Harry has been working hard to strike a balance that will hopefully minimize the fallout caused by his book, noting that he is, quote, trying to stay true to his principles and keep his publishers happy at the same time. The source says it's been a rough process and very difficult for him to recount traumatic events from his childhood. He is talking about the 1997 death of his and William's mother, Princess Diana. He's talking about the Nazi uniform. He is talking for Halloween. He is talking about the nude photos, and all of it has been really difficult for him, but he's sort of having a back and forth between his publishing company wanting it to be juicy and trying to save his relationship with William and Charles, because we know that that is on thin ice and releasing a book is really just going to cave that through to the cold, icy waters.
I mean, here's the thing. if you don't want to ruffle feathers, like, don't write the book. Hold off. Most people don't issue memoirs when they're 32. How old is he? You know, like, maybe now wasn't the time.
Yeah, it's really, really rough timing for him. He's 38. And it's really rough timing that his grandmother just passed, and they had this moment where the family comes together and he's like, well, now I'm writing a tell-all memoir. It'll be out in a few months.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yikes.
Yeah. I assume you guys went pretty hard last week on the title Spare.
We did.
I didn't have a chance to listen, but I knew when I saw that, I was like, oh, they got this one.
Oh, no, you must listen, because not only do we go off on the title Spare, we go off on the
art direction,
vacant yet looking directly at the camera as, you know, someone who is misunderstood, but this is me photo.
Yeah.
And also, what else did we have to say about it?
Well, that Meghan Markle creative directed that cover because she has done that same face.
Meghan Markle creative directed the whole project because there is, I just don't know what pushed him to release this now. You know, most memoirs are like after people are like, you know, over the age of 50, more like when they're 70.
Unless you're on The Bachelor.
Or unless you're Demi Lovato.
Right. You're Demi Lovato or you're on The Bachelor. And listen, as someone who is an expert in celebrity memoirs, which trust me, I'm going to read this book cover to cover and I'm going to love every second of it, even though I'm going to also secretly hate it.
Oh,
There's definitely enough in his life to do a memoir. I get it.
I agree.
But I will say the memoirs that come out, you're Demi Moore, you're Matthew Perry, you're even Jessica Simpson. Like when you've pretty much completed the majority of what you've set out to do, those are the best memoirs because they are when like all bets are off. You don't care about burning bridges anymore. You're finally like not lying. Even Demi Lovato, who's lived a lot of life, spends every documentary or book saying the last one was a lie. And that's because you're not ready to do it.
That's
so
right.
As someone who has read Miles to Go, Miley Cyrus's memoir at age 16, they're not usually necessary. And again, mostly just bachelor people trying to capitalize on their 15 minutes, write memoirs at such a young age. But I do think Harry's lived just life, but it's never going to be good timing. It's never going to be good.
But it just comes off as bitter from the get-go, like even with the title Spare. Yeah. And everybody knows that he's bitter. So we have to amplify this bitterness.
I don't think there's any, I know he's trying to kind of get ahead of potential backlash. And I'm sure in every interview with like the few he does, he will say like, this is my story. I can hear it now. This is my story that has nothing to do with them. Like it works for them. This is me. I should get to tell my story. But like, it is what it is. Like you're drawing another line in the sand. You're making this worse. Like it just is what it is.
Gwen's right. Just the very idea of it is backlash already, saying like, if you raise me in a terrible way, everything you stand for in this figurehead tyrannical party system is wrong. Be like, signed, love, Harry.
Yeah.
With the foreword by, you know, Helen Mirren. I don't know who's going to get to do it. Maggie Smith.
Hi, Megan.
No.
Elton John.
Oh, that would be a good one.
Could be Oprah.
Oh, yeah, probably will be Oprah. Well, vamos a ver, as they say in Spanish, we will see. Now, I hear all of you listeners and maybe my co-hosts even asking, are Leonardo DiCaprio and Gigi Hadid still together? I think I remember hearing about that. Well, we have the answer for you. Yes, but not super serious is the answer. Leo and Gigi.
Leonardo, like Ninja Turtles.
As in Da Vinci and Ninja Turtles. No, Leo and Gigi were first linked together in September, and they were spotted hanging out over this last weekend at Circo Loco's Halloween party at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. Great space for a Halloween party. And Page Six has heard that Leo and Gigi were there with Bella and Irina Shayk and an art dealer named Helly Hammond. They arrived all together.
Helly Namad is like the most famous art collector and dealer in the world. Like, Helly Namad is in competition. The gallery is in London, but he's in competition with like Sotheby's, Christie's. Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, Helly I only Namad. Know Cook Maroney. As an art dealer, if they aren't dating a celebrity, I sadly have very unlikely heard of them. Well, good for Helly, because you're in very pretty people's and 20-year-old model's company showing up to this Halloween party. So they wore on a party bus. Leo wore a scary mask, which I feel like he does every year, unless he was drinking, he would put it up. His scary mask was the whole time. They had bottle service, were hanging up there. Stella Maxwell was also there. Some guy from the Yankees, who I don't know, was there. But there wasn't a lot of PDA, they said, but they were together. And just in case you're wondering about Leonardo DiCaprio's mask, it was half monster, half zombie looking. But it looks like the two are still hanging out. And I think it's nice that Gigi comes with her own model crew, because we know that Leo can't be anywhere unless there are at least 6 to 7 supermodels surrounding him. So I like this pairing.
I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, what I find interesting is that this is off type for him, which maybe this means that this is the real thing.
Elderly mother. This Leo's wife, a 27-year-old elderly geriatric pregnancy mother, from Leo's point of view. I really like it. I just think Gigi has a rough taste in men. So I think Leo be good to her.
Yeah.
Well, I'm seeing, I don't know if you guys are smelling this, but I think there might be salmon, because there's a little smoke coming from Team Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner. Earlier this month, they made some really bad headlines when, I don't know how to pronounce this model's name, Roheen Carr claimed that she had been texting with Travis Scott after working together on a music video. She also said that Travis Scott was, quote, cheating on Kylie every effing night of the week with other women. Travis Scott took to Instagram and said, quote, "It's a lot of weird going on," he said. "An uninvited person was sneaking photos on what was supposed to be a closed set while I was directing a video. I'm saying this for the last time. I don't know this person. I've never been with this person. So please stop with the continuous cyber games and fictional storytelling." He had some other denials on Instagram, but I don't know whether it's just he's a huge presence, so all of these girls are trying to get fame by coming after him, but there's a little bit of smoke in this salmon.
Okay. I mean, do I believe that Travis Scott cheats on Kylie Jenner?
Yes.
Do I believe he cheats on her with this woman? Actually, no, because she is like kind of a freak and recreates like all the places he is. And then tried to but actually doesn't have real proof, because she's like, if she had like a picture of them in bed together or like a picture of her, I don't even have him in the background, like anything that was actual proof, she would have released it, because this woman's on Instagram every 10 seconds, even though her defense was, what you see is not always what you get. But the only reason people are potentially believing this is because of the measures she's taken to have the same backdrop as Travis Scott at different times and break into his music video set. So like, she's unhinged.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Do I think that Kylie and Travis have some sort of arrangement where he, you know, maybe has other friends? Yeah, I do. But you know what? If it works for them, whatever.
Each their own, but it is weird. Those girls also, they have choices.
Yeah, to each their own. I get it's tough when you're a sports player or a rapper and you get constant
so hard
thrown at you. It's so hard. I mean,
be more like Dwayne Wade, everybody.
Be more like Dwayne Wade.
I know he fathered a child with another woman, but that was when him and Gabrielle Union were on a break.
Yes, totally. They were on a break.
Speaking of the Kardashians, though, I just want to throw this out there since it is recorded. I'm sensing a Devin Booker scandal. I have no evidence or proof or sources at all to say so, but I just feel as though him and Kendall have been together for a decent amount of time. to pretty much not much drama. I know they like broke up over the summer for that hot right. minute, but he's an NBA player. He's a very good NBA player. And I feel as though we could be getting maybe some cheating from him because it's about that time.
Oh, wow.
You're a good man. I'm sorry, Devin Booker. I'm just, you know, just trying to guess here.
He looks like good to me, but it's hard to tell. I mean, he seems like they just seem really loved up and happy together, but you can never tell.
Also, happy birthday, Kendall. I'm so happy. I wish this for you on your birthday. I just realized it is your birthday, fellow Scorpio sister.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Kendall.
And seriously, I mean, omnipotent oracle baby woman Sarah Huron has said this. It has not been good for these celebrities in the past.
True.
Kendall, rifle through your man's phone. All right, baby woman, other than putting a hex on people's relationships, can you tell us about Selegend Gomez and her new documentary that premieres this Friday? We are already hearing some explosive bombshells, and I'm really excited to watch this doc.
Yes, so I have watched it. I watched it yesterday morning with my coffee. I started at like 7:30 and I cried several times. I don't know if I was just like vulnerable because I just woke it up. but it is very, very emotional, you guys. It's called My Mind and Me. It's on Apple TV Plus. And it starts off actually in 2016, she was making this documentary. So she's getting ready for her revival tour.
The and AMAs.
If you know Selena, you know that that was when her and Justin had just kind of broken up almost for good, right? When he started getting with Haley the first time. This is when she had just been diagnosed with lupus, but she had not yet been diagnosed as bipolar. And it was before that kind of big breakdown that she had. And it starts and she's, I mean, they call it a psychotic break in the documentary.
Yeah, a big breakdown.
But it was also like kind of the height of her career to some degree at the time. Like she'd kind of broken out of Disney. Revival was a great album. She was getting ready for this huge tour. She made it 55 dates. You see her struggling even before it starts. So kind of even shocking that she powered through 55 dates. And then they end up canceling it because she had a psychotic break. As it is described, she ended up hospitalized. And her mom, what was super interesting about it, her mom is in the doc very briefly. Her mom, Mandy Teefee, who was kind of her manager in her early days, and her stepdad, Brian. And you find out that they found out that Selena was hospitalized in that summer of 2016. They found out on TMZ. Selena was being very distant from her family. And Mandy said, they called me and wanted to know what my daughter was doing in the hospital with a nervous breakdown. She didn't want anything to do with me. I was scared she was going to die. You hang on as tight as you can and try to help them with their treatment. And that's the hardest thing to do, to then go to bed and hope they wake up the next day. It's a miracle she got out, but there's always a fear it's going to happen again. And that hurt me so much. So then you fast forward 3 years and the doc kind of picks up in 2019 where Selena has found out she's bipolar. She's kind of got her lupus under control and she's still dealing with mental health. And that's when she writes Lose You to Love Me. And there's Justin is only mentioned once by name, but he's referenced a lot in other ways and kind of how she's navigating it. And you see her go home to Texas and you see she speaks about her relationship with her mom in 2019. And I thought this quote was really interesting. I shouldn't have spoken to them in the way that I did, and I shouldn't have treated them the way that I did sometimes. Then they know it wasn't me. So when I wake up the next day, they tell me what happened, but they explain to me, they're like, look, we know that's not you talking, but we're really concerned. Just know we love you. I just say, I'm so sorry. Cause I remember certain things that I did and I was so mean. Even to this day, I continue saying thank you. And I'm sorry. They're always like, once we found out everything, it made so much sense. We would never, ever give up on you. And they haven't, when so many times they probably should have. So guys, she really doesn't hold back in this documentary. It's like a very candid look. And she reads her diary entries. Like being inside Selena Gomez's head seems messy. It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. I am so glad she's better because during that 2016 time, you could just tell by the look in her eyes when she showed up to anything, everything was really, really bad going on. I also love the way that since then she talks about Justin Bieber because she's such a nice person that she doesn't want to call him out by name every time. But she's like, past relationships have made me, people crazy. Have treated me completely
I am haunted.
Crazy.
It's like, I don't think it was those 2 months with The Weeknd that set you back.
No, and The Weeknd was so in love with you. He would have done anything for you. He seemed so sweet to you.
And she seems to be in a good place now. I mean, she's promoting it and you could tell like she does. What was also really interesting watching her like do press for like Lose You to Love Me and stuff. And like she was being asked like stupid questions and she like kind of loses it a little bit. Like it's very like, oh, stars are just like us. But also like she has some serious stuff that she takes meds for and then she's constantly navigating and she's been in and out of like several treatment centers. And I just, I don't know. It was really eye opening and I really like her.
Well, it's great that she's overcome this, you know, like, or she's just living in a great place with it. Like, she's so mature in Only Murders in the Building. I'm obsessed with her. And I'm just so happy that she's good.
How's Rare Beauty doing? I feel like I haven't heard anything from her.
I actually love it.
Rare Beauty does really well. It's a beautiful brand, and it's really
good. Cool. Well, love the song. This is the title track from it.
Oh my god, I know, and it's haunting. It plays like throughout, like music. Oh my god, it's really
rare.
I was talking about the My Mind and Me song.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lose You to Love Me. You know, I love. I listen to the acoustic for the whatever demo version whenever I need a good, you know, tug good at the heartstrings. But nice. Rare, the song is also great. She's great. Big fan.
She's great. We love you, Issa Legend. Glad you are healed and on the up and up. And again, Only Murders in the Building. What a great, like, mature way to come back from a psychotic break and a Disney star and a horrible relationship.
Also, I just read in her New York Times profile, or maybe Rolling Stone profile, she said that for her 30th birthday, she threw herself a wedding because she thought she'd be married by 25. And Miley Cyrus was there, Olivia Rodrigo was there, and Cara Delevingne was there, and Cara Delevingne brought strippers.
Oh.
Even though it wasn't a bachelor party theme, it was a wedding. So just, you know, fun stuff in there.
Well, good luck to Cara Delevingne. She's working through her own stuff. True. Well, thank you to my host and to Selena Gomez, Gwen and Sarah, for helping me spill this piping hot celebrity this week. Again, this is Travis Perdon of Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast with your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, fame of your favorite celebrities. Because after all, guys, you know what celebrities are?
They're just like us.
Wow, that was the messiest one. We will be back next week. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.